Welcome back, everyone. I am joined here, as always, except for last week, by the lovely and beautiful Kelly. Welcome back, Kelly. I'm actually so stoked that you're here for this week because I feel like it would not be our Dancing with the Stars podcast if you were not here for the best week of Dancing with the Stars that ever existed, which was Disney Night. How excited are you to discuss the synergy of ABC?
Yeah, this was my favorite thing that ever happened. My brother was visiting and he sort of wandered down halfway through and I was talking to myself when he arrived and I was just saying, this is the most beautiful thing in the world. And he's like, who
I know.
Are you talking to?
I know, I kept it. And it was funny because I was trying to watch this. So Monday night, I actually, it's funny because we're recording this a day late. So sorry, everyone.
That's my fault. I'm sorry.
Apologies to the universe. We had some scheduling issues on our end. So RB, but we're here. We're ready to talk about it all. But it's actually good because I ended up having some lagging issues with my television. So I ended up watching it again last night as well, just to sort of make sure I didn't miss anything. But I kept going back on Hulu and being like, Mike, watch this. And there were like the interstitials of like Keo and the troop dancers like dancing is like the Snow White. Like costume.
That was my favorite.
I made him watch it like twice. I was like, what is this even about? I don't even understand why they're doing this. Some person's singing in French right now, and it's just the best thing I've ever seen in my life. But
yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I even from the opening number, I was sucked into the magic.
Right? And how crazy was that opening number, though? Because, like, is Alfonso Ribeiro now trying to be a recording star for kids? Like, what is happening?
I didn't know he could sing so well. I mean, I knew he could sing, but he sounded great. I would love to just sort of get your general take on the opening number. Have we seen an opening number this elaborate in the most recent seasons of Dancing with the Stars, your opinion?
They usually try and go all out for the opening number. So the only real group, like,
right,
troop
the premiere,
dance
that, you mean?
Yeah. So the troop dance that stands out in my head as the most elaborate thing that I think I've ever seen, including it felt like an Oscar opening, was last season's opening. I've talked about this before, the one at the Griffith Observatory, and they had like helicopter shots and all sort of like crazy stuff. I don't remember what they usually do on Disney Night, but things like all of those animation things are,
yeah, that must have cost a fortune.
Yeah, and they definitely did one, was it 2 years ago or last year, whenever Jodie Sweetin was on the show, she definitely danced with the was it an antelope, the like pop star character from Zootopia.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm pretty sure that was the only time they did that, like dancing with a cartoon MC Scat Cat kind of thing.
And that's something to note throughout this episode. Is I was explaining this to Mike, but throughout the episode, in everybody's package where they did their rehearsal, there was a cheesy moment where either somebody became an animated figure or somebody interacted with an animated figure, or there was some sort of animation in the rehearsal.
Yeah,
and then not only
that, a lot on this.
Yeah, and then not only that, but Tom and the judges and all of the dancers, like, in the ballroom night of, were interacting with animation. So, very strange.
They combined the animation with, like, Disney World-style grown people in costumes. Like, I feel like maybe one or the other would have been the right way to go.
Yeah, so it was all very, very elaborate and very a lot of the synergy of Disney World, Disney, you know, Walt Disney.
Oh, lots
and
of upcoming film promotion this year.
Yes. And
lots
I think
of Moana now available on DVD and download.
Yes. And the new Beauty and the Beast. And, you know, they always have to throw a little Frozen in there because, you know, it's always in the zeitgeist. But
Cars 3 isn't out yet, but we're going to promote that. And also all sorts of such and such will be in theaters soon.
Yeah. And just sort of jump right into it. So we go into our Alfonso Rivera just going balls to the wall, crazy. So you would probably know a little bit more about this, but that was with him in the opening number, I believe, JT from So You Think You Can Dance Next Generation, right?
Oh, so I didn't watch the kid season because
so
I didn't
the
care.
Kid season. So okay, the little boy then was JT. So this is from my Google research, that was him. So I think that was him. A little boy dancer. I'm not sure who the little girl was. I couldn't quite figure it out from my research, but I imagine she was also a dancer. So they were probably there.
That they were from the same kid casting agency as Little Huffs from a couple weeks ago.
Yes, that probably makes sense to me, but they were very cute. I didn't really get to see them dance very much, which is kind of a shame because I feel like if, you know, from what I gathered, even from what I saw on YouTube, he's quite the dancer. So that's kind of a shame. But it was very cute. And I sort of loved the opening number, and all of the girl troupe dancers dressed up as fairies was just like, I wanted to be a fairy. I wanted to like get up in that set and I was dying. I felt like it was great to see all of the cast members of the troupe just sort of running around in costume. And even some of the people who were in some of the cast members who were partnered up with people still in the competition, like Sharna, like she's dressed up as Ariel for some reason, just like running around the stage. So like that wasn't even a character that she was playing in her dance. She was just, she has red hair, so let's throw in an Ariel costume for the opening number, you know? So it was crazy, such a spectacle. But they jumped pretty quickly from that right into Rashad and Emma, which was very, very pointedly, like top of the leaderboard. We're giving them the most popular number. You know, we're giving them Beauty and the Beast. It's happening because that's where it's at right now with the movie, and we're just, it's happening. So what did you think overall of this dance?
Well,
and
this
just
was,
sort of.
Yeah. Sorry. You know, go ahead.
No, no. I was just, I mean, that's it. That's the question.
Well, so it's kind of interesting that you say that this was the most sort of obviously popular thing. Certainly it's the thing that's happening with Disney right like now.
Yeah. And that's what I mean by that.
But it's, and certainly, I mean, those costumes, I tweeted out that I can't, you know, can't handle Blonde Belle as my, Emma's perfect. I love her, but Blonde Belle is sacrilegious. But other than that, those costumes are iconic and all that kind of thing. However, it meant that they were dancing to an original song people don't know. You know, it's not like they were going out and doing Under the Sea.
That was so weird.
Well, the song was beautiful, and I love Josh Groban and all of that. It was interesting that I felt the song was sort of better suited to a waltz than a foxtrot. It was a little bit slow. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of, it was strange. I mean, I gave it a 9 because it was beautiful and wonderful. And yeah. I can't believe that was Emma's first 10 ever. That, I mean, that's just a testament to them giving her stupid contestants, because how has Emma never gotten a 10 before? But I don't know. I thought it was beautiful. I thought the song was lovely, but kind of ill-suited to their dance assignment. And it wasn't the biggest advantage that they did have to do a song that is not, you know, it doesn't sit really close to people's hearts the way that some of the songs that we're going to see later in the evening do. Yeah. Although I will say they did get my favorite Len criticism, which is, and he says it all the time, which is, your footwork was a little suspect.
I think that's so funny. And I felt that they benefited from it being an original song that they played and not that they tried to sing live, because I do feel like Josh Groban's voice was at least enigmatic an emotion that I think that would have been hard to replicate. So I think that that benefited them. But you're right. I mean, the song Evermore, I didn't even know there was a song. This is like shameful, but I haven't seen the movie yet, which is just, I know, I just
it's
haven't
fine.
Had time. And it's, I mean, no, that is, it's like really upsetting, but it's very expensive to see movies in New York City.
No,
so
I mean, the movie is fine. I'm sure it's very upsetting that you haven't seen it, but the movie itself
upsetting.
Is fine.
I'm sure I'll love it. I'm sure I'll like cry and be like, just like my 7-year-old self all over again. But so I loved their dance. I agree that they could have slapped a brunette wig on her. If you're going to put a red wig on Nancy Kerrigan, put a brown wig on Emma. You know, I felt like that was fine. I do think that they sort of phoned it in a little bit. I think that,
what do you think?
I mean, not in the dance, just in sort of the in sort of the character work. I think that that was clearly apparent in the package that, like, I don't think Rashad was quite as invested as Emma in the romance of it all. But I think that they had fun preparing for the week. And I think they sort of set the tone for Disney Week in that, you know, we want you to all get invested in these characters. So the character sort of takes the advantage over the dance this week in most cases. And I think that they sort of set that tone up, which kind of leads us into our next dance, which is Nick and PETA, which I could not be more in love with babyface Nick. Could not be more in love with his little apple cheeks and his little hat and his little pants and his little suspenders. Mike was like, wait, who is that? And I was like, that is my true love, Nick Vile. So what did you think? What were your takes? What were your hot takes, Kelly?
I thought this was interesting. I don't know how Dancing with the Stars works in terms of, because they've never been really transparent about it in terms of, like,
it's not up to us to know these things.
Who decides what, basically?
This is a joke. They could not have, like, this is not a serious pick. Like, come on. Right.
Well, no, it's interesting, though, because on one hand, like, there's two ways I could see this going in that weird sort of, like, backroom discussion where they decide what's going to happen to these people next week. Someone either wanted to embarrass him because they don't like him. And so they were like, what's the most embarrassing thing we can possibly do to this guy? And they looked at things like he specifically grew that beard in his, like, transformation to be less hot or more hot and less vulnerable. He hasn't had no beard since Andy's season, and he looks totally different. He looked a little bit, I think he fixed his teeth because he still doesn't quite look like he looked like when he in Andy's season.
He's skinnier, too. His face is much thinner.
Yeah, that's very true. And the you know, the shaping haircut helps and all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, like, that was part of his key evolution. So so I think they were either trying to embarrass him because they don't like him, or they were trying to embarrass him because they knew that's what he needed. I think that a lot of the people who don't like Nick, one of the things they don't like is the constant sex stuff, because it reminds them of Fantasy Suite Gate, and it leans into that perception that I think all bachelors have, unless they're Sean Lowe, which is that sort of, like, kind of skeezy thing that comes along naturally with dating that many women at once. And so I think that, like, kind of embarrassing him and making him laugh along with himself and be kind of childlike and totally take sex off the table was an interesting strategy for him. So I'm trying to figure out, like, do the producers want to embarrass him for good reasons or for bad reasons? But either way, I think it really worked.
Yeah, but no,
that
I
said,
agree.
Vanessa looks
that,
like, she's questioning all her decisions, which made me laugh a lot.
Oh my God, her face was, like, such a big, like, like, I don't understand what's happening right now. I think they just caught her during, like, maybe she, like sneezed and then looked at the camera or something. Like, her face did not look normal. But I think that, okay, so first of all, one thing to point out is that this was one of many jazz numbers tonight, which is not typical. I mean, they usually have a few jazz numbers throughout the seasons, but it's not typical to see, like, a ton of jazz numbers in one night. And they also, this was one, I think it was the only number that was, like, a classic Disney movie that didn't really have a connection to, like, modern, like, TV or movies.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, everything else was, like, a modern thing. You know, like, we had Beauty and the Beast, we had Finding Dory, Frozen, we had Wreck-It Ralph, Mulan, Cars 3, Enchanted, Moana.
So this was the only pre-90s. This was the only pre-90s one.
Yeah, and, like, classic sort of, like, Disney, like, Walt Disney.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's the only one from the before the boom in the 90s. And even actually this and Mulan are the only ones that, you're right, aren't connected to a really modern franchise either, because even Beauty and the Beast is being re-released and all that kind of stuff. That's very interesting. I think that sort of points even more to the fact that, like, somebody did this to him on purpose. And I think that's really interesting. And I want to know why.
Yeah, I'm just confused, like, who did it and what happened and what decision was made. But they did a great job. I mean, it was, like, a very Very interesting setup. And PETA's choreography was like very weird because she was like, kind of like a sexy Jiminy Cricket. Like she had these like she was like a sexy librarian slash Jiminy Cricket. And I think that this whole thing was well done because it was very, very funny. And it was jazz, so they could really just make it whatever they want.
Yeah. Do you think that jazz gets consistently and contemporary as well gets consistently overscored?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I think that they, well, one, no one seems to understand what jazz is. Certainly, Max has absolutely no idea what jazz is, apparently, because jazz is not, they treat the jazz on this show as catch-all, like just free, they sort of use it instead of the word freestyle, because they've decided that freestyle is specific to the finale. But on jazz, when they get jazz, they just sort of do whatever they want. That's not really necessarily in like jazz traditions. But yeah, because like those three jazz numbers had nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, they were just, it was not ballroom. Very interesting. Yeah, just not ballroom exactly.
Yeah, not ballroom. And just sort like of contemporary has its own specific things. But yeah,
so it's
just interesting. This one was kind of jazzy, so that's fine. It was really the other one that bothered me. But I do think that jazz, or sort of this sort of version of jazz. You can't see me. I'm like doing something weird with my arms, trying to mimic Nick's sort of strange puppet moves. But I think that this was probably set up to be the best for him in terms of his style of movement. So yeah. I gave him an 8. I think that he did pretty well, but I don't necessarily think this boost is going to stay.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think that he's not winning, but I'm proud. I'm proud of him. I'm proud. moving on to our other Erica.
Oh, wait. So here is where we got the interstitial from Finding Dory with the sea lion. And it was my favorite. Oh, interstitial.
My gosh. Okay, so I had to rewind this to show Mike because I was like, I'm not sure what just happened. But Tom was okay. So I'm going to paint a picture for you. So Tom is just standing there, audience. Listeners, Tom is just standing there. He's giving us a little bit of like a recap about things. And then a sea lion literally falls from the ceiling and just like in front of Tom.
And just like out gives of the camera just the best like a little like Jim from the Office look. Like, it was so funny. I loved it, especially because they did not give the sea lion a voice because it's not mimicable, because the sea lions in Finding Dory are played by the stars of The Wire.
Yes,
which is just
correct. So funny. I died. I thought it was so cool. I just thought like the whole thing was just like very like it didn't mean to be this way, but it was very random and very terrible.
I loved it.
Yeah. So I guess we should mention, though, also that this episode sort of took a shift in structure. And throughout this episode, they also decided that they were going to tell us throughout the episode that people were either safe or in jeopardy as they were after they danced, before they danced, you know, just willy-nilly. So after Rashad and Emma finished dancing, they actually told them after they got their scores, they said, and just so you know, based off of your scores from last week, you're safe for next week. And it was like, oh, LOL.
I kind of liked that because I think that it cuts down on that big dramatic moment at the end where people have to pretend that they're
concerned. I did like it, but I really? Also felt I did like it, but I also felt that the situation with Nick was terribly, terribly shitty, because right before Nick and PETA go to dance, they lined up four of them and they told them that Erica and Gleb were in jeopardy, and they said that wasn't in jeopardy, and then somebody else wasn't in jeopardy, and then they said Nick and PETA were in jeopardy. So we're like, oh, by the way, Nick and PETA, you're in jeopardy now, go dance.
And something that was really mean about the way they decided, I know we discussed earlier that the people who are in jeopardy are not really in jeopardy. They're just sort of randomly picked people, which is really stupid because this week they did three couples are in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Except that two of though Nick and Erica both knew that it was really only two couples randomly they were like, oh, we're going to tell you that one of our most popular dancers and one of our best dancers like there, she's the no Normani is the front runner. He is front runner. And then they're so like, stupid. Surprise, you and Val are in danger. Val almost looked like the look he gave the camera like was almost laughed. So ironic. It was beautiful. It was like,
it was so cruel. I just thought it was very cruel of them to do that to Nick and Erica, because I felt like it just set them up to dance like poorly. Like they didn't, they rose above it, which I'm very like, I'm glad that they did. But it almost was like if they had been different people, if it had been a different night, if it had, you know, any sort of situation, like any sort of variable could have led to them like completely like messing up. So
what did you think of Erica in general? Because I was I thought she did an incredibly good job. I thought it was a beautiful dance, but it had
she's next.
First shot where they dove down into the water. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it couldn't have had less to do with Finding Dory. I was expecting it to be an original song from Finding Dory, but it's just an old jazz standard. Like there was literally
and I think that
nothing
they gave
here.
Her that though. So that's the issue, is they gave her Unforgettable from Finding Dory. So I think the problem.
Unforgettable's not from Finding Dory. That's the thing. Like, it's a song they played in Finding Dory, but it's also a song they play in, like, the finale of Will and Grace. Like, it's a song.
No, I know, but that's what they picked for her. So they gave her that. So that's what she had to work with. So, and I think that Gleb choreographed it very well for her. I think that she came across very gentle and very graceful. I think that her arm extensions were very good. I think that she did the best that she could with that. And I think that she knew she was going home. I don't think that after last week and her Express Yourself dance that she thought that she really had a huge chance of like coming in and like doing something, unless she got dressed in like a giant fish costume and like did an amazing dance to Unforgettable by Sia. Like, I don't know what do you think she should have done? You know, like, would a giant fish costume have
attention? I don't know. I'm not saying it's necessarily her and Gleb's fault. I'm just saying that, like, in terms of the assignments, this didn't make any sense to me at all.
No, it didn't. It didn't make any sense. And I think that they honestly just, like, they gave up on her. And I think that that's one of the reasons she ends up going home tonight. And, I mean, spoiler alert, everyone, like, Erica goes home tonight. But I think that she had given up as well, especially after last week. It just seemed very defeatist. And, like, not that she was defeatist, but that she had been sort of, you know, like, I guess I felt a little like they had abandoned her, and that they had other favorites and other people to focus on, so that they were like, you know what, she's the next one to go home, so we're just going to give her this. I think that she'll do a nice, pretty dance to it, and that'll be that, you know?
Which is interesting, because I think this was Gleb's most likable week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very nice.
Him whispering encouragement to her in her ear, where like it wasn't necessarily for the cameras, I thought was very sweet. And actually, somebody on either it was on Twitter or in the comments or something, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Somebody had mentioned, I think it was on Twitter, somebody was live tweeting their like journey through our backlog.
Yes, episodes. Somebody was live tweeting their journey through our episode. So we're really sorry we weren't able to follow. We have jobs, unfortunately.
And but she was, I think that's who it was, who was saying that Gleb on the international version actually isn't known as the sexy one. And I thought that was really interesting that she was like, well, they've sort of pinhole him here as like that's his thing. And so I was like, hey, I wonder if Gleb has other stuff going on, and if that wasn't what he was defaulting to, maybe there's something interesting about him that we're not seeing because we're so distracted by how sexy he's always trying to be. So I thought that was very intriguing. If you have more information for us, mysterious tweeter, let us know, because I really I'm invested in the idea. I really like discovering that I like somebody I thought I didn't like. So if you can make me turn around on Gleb, I would appreciate it. That'd be great. Although he's gone now, so but he'll be dancing in
Never
the troop.
Mind.
He'll be dancing in the troop, and he'll be back next year. They seem to love him, unless they replace him with Alan.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, so funny. But yeah, so they did a good job. I mean, I'm not sad necessarily to see her go. I think it was her time, but I do also think that You know, she went out on a high note, and I think she also did an amazing job of holding her tongue when the judges and Tom and everyone were goading her at the end. You know, they were when they finally told her at the end, you know, that it was her that she was going. Tom was like, "I think I saw you tell Gleb that you knew it was going to be you. I think I saw you whisper that." And she was like, "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about." You know, yeah, I'm just it was a really great experience, and I was happy to be here. Like, she was the perfection picture of just poise and grace, and I loved it. I was just like, you work it, girl. Like, you just live that PR lifestyle. Because, like, she does not need to, like, eat that stuff. You know, like, I felt like she could have easily gotten into, like, you know, that whole, like, nonsense where they go out on, like, a nasty note. And she just was like, nope, I'm done. It was a great experience. That's it. I'm over it.
Yeah.
All right. So we're moving quite along here. Moving on to my girl, Heather. And she is dancing again this week with Alan, although we find out at the end of their dance that Max will be back next week. And he has choreographed this dance this week. So he's I don't know what I'm trying to say, but he's wiggled his way in there again this week. And I don't know if it's to their detriment, but I think that they did. You think yes. Yeah, I think a little bit yes, but I do think they did a good job this week. And I think that, like we said at the beginning of the episode, that this was a very character-driven week. And I think that Max made actually a very interesting comment, and I'd like to hear your opinion on this. But that this is a song. So first of all, they are doing a jazz number for the first time in forever from Frozen.
Which I love. Great song.
Oh my God, love it. But Max says at the end of the dance when they're getting their scores, he says, "This is a song that is sung by a single girl who's having a moment and she's going through a monologue in her head." And that is a very difficult thing to choreograph a dance for two people to. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting idea. I've never really thought about it that way. So he decided to have a little bit of like a character thing between. So I was like, okay, that actually makes a little bit more sense to me to focus more on like the character of them as a couple, more like a goofy character driven thing. So, what did you think about that? Because I felt like that was kind of an interesting comment. Like, I didn't even think about that like the monologue aspect of the song would drive the choreography at all.
Okay. So I hated this. This was
you hated it
horrific. I hated it so much.
It was not horrific. Oh my God! Turn it down, drama queen.
I'm so over.
Turn it down.
I can't do this. I can't with Heather anymore. Okay. So and mostly it's mostly Max's issue. But like, okay. First of all, almost every song. So like a lot of songs that they dance to on the show are sort of big diva songs. You know, you've got your Celine Dion's and your Mariah Carey's and your sort
right.
of like that's what you waltz to a lot of times on this show. And that's what you do a lot of contemporary to. They're the big diva, big belt ballad songs. Those are all single monologue, single woman songs. All of them.
But they're not Disney character songs.
Except that a lot of them very well could be. Like, storytelling is storytelling.
Right.
You know, a songwriter will tell you that there is a character, that they're speaking from that person's point of view. Even if the character is Adele, that's still a character. And certainly the version of Adele that is presented in her songs is a character, because it's certainly not like happy-go-lucky mom Adele. And so it's the same thing. And to use Disney Week as an excuse to stop dancing and just grin really bothered me, especially because you cannot like this idea of everybody's just a character. OK, well, then your character needs to be something more interesting than someone who smiles a lot and throws snowballs. Like you
but
can
that's the character.
We can dissect the storytelling qualities of Frozen at a later date, but like that there's so much more to Anna. But even if you're not going to investigate
backtrack, her name's Anna. Get it right, girl.
Whoa, you're right. Sorry, I don't care that much, but like either way, like there's so much more there. And even if you're not interested in what's there, Heather, especially when given jazz, and I don't think Heather liked this routine, and I think you can tell that when she's saying later, there wasn't a lot of dancing in it. She wouldn't have said that if she liked the routine. But I think that she can, to say that she has to play the character instead of putting in dance content, because the character of Anna is so difficult to master, come on now. Like, just let her dance. Have her dance. It's not that, and this was not... You know, they weren't assigned the foxtrot. So this is not me complaining in a Len way about, like, I needed more foxtrot, like, actual steps. I wanted dancing instead of running around, because especially because Heather can do it. And it could have been so wonderful.
Yeah, no, I honestly do get what you're saying. I just think that sometimes Max takes opportunities to explore different areas with the people that he's given, and I think that this was just an opportunity to do that. So
different areas, what do you like, what does that even mean?
He decided to explore character driven dance instead of doing more dance, and I think that,
but it wasn't character driven dance, it was running around in a circle wearing a hat. Like, it wasn't. All right.
Well, you know what, we're gonna move on, because I am getting mad at you.
Oh, that's anyway. Fine. I'm just so mad at this whole Heather thing, because I do think that she could be extraordinary, and it's like they're not letting her somehow, or I don't know what it is, because I don't like her, and I don't want to blame it on her that I don't like her, but she's just not doing anything yet. And so I'm going to blame Max, because that's the easiest person to blame.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, it's fine. It is. I think that they were split judges as well. I think that it's hard to sort of see... you know, when they're not including that much choreography, where
Julianne,
you
know, literally said you could have done more moves. Like, I don't know. I can't. Let's move on. Honestly, you take the next one, too, because, like, whatever, Bonner.
No, yeah, this wasn't a good one. So actually, I would agree. Bonner was hard, because I think that at the first. So Bonner and Sharna, moving on. So I Love Heather and Kelly Doesn't, moving on. Bonner and Sharna had a really weird night, because they were given the song When Can I See You Again by Owl City, which is from Wreck-It Ralph. I love Owl City. This is like a game song, though. So it was basically like they were dancing to Mario Brothers soundtrack, and they were given a tango. So they were asked to tango to a game soundtrack, which was just a really weird thing to do. And Bonner had a great week last week. He was asked to do the most memorable year, and I think that he did a really great job, and I think that he was on the upswing. The issue with this is that it was very disorienting. He was very playful with it, which was good, and they liked watching him do the hold that he does so well, because that's all he can do. but the issue for me is that he is so physically... rigid because of his injury. It is just very, very, very uncomfortable to watch, in my opinion. I think that it was very innocent looking, and I think that that was what sold the judges a little bit more, is that they felt like, you know, they're rooting for him, and they're rooting for Sharna. They just sort of feel like it's kind of like almost precious at this point, how it's like a little bit sad. Like, you're just like, oh, all right, Bonner, like, clap, 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 like, good job, buddy. Like, you can do it. You know, I think that I felt like he did well. Like, he did his footwork was fine. You know, if you look at his feet, he's doing all the steps, and they're good. But if you watch him, if you watch him from the waist up, it's extremely uncomfortable to watch. And that was just sort of my take from it.
He also dances with his mouth open, which drives me absolutely
bonkers.
He's
very, very like, slack jaw. And his
that's
sort
a
of
very
like,
easy thing to fix. Come on, Sharna.
Well, and I'm wondering if that was kind of his idea of like his character this week, because he kept doing it as if he were like, I'm in a game right now. And like whenever he was trying, because like he would stop doing it as soon as they stop in the rehearsal, as soon as they stopped dancing. So I feel like that was his, I'm being Wreck-It Ralph right now. Like, I'm a video game person. And this was another instance of like in the rehearsal, it went from like him being in rehearsal to like right into their dance, because he turned into a robot. So I, you know, it was all right. It wasn't great.
One thing I will point out here, they discovered last week that actually because of his injury, he's really good at hold in a way that like the when the men are the stars, they almost are never good at hold. And that's like the
like
one
can do the lead.
That's usually the biggest hurdle for them to get over. So he's actually got this sort of very strange, unexpected advantage in this one area. And so Sharna, because she's brilliant, just decided to lean into that. She was like, oh, he can do the one thing nobody else can do, so I'm going to have him do it all the time. And then the judges, because the judges aren't paying attention, I guess, and aren't aware of strategy or anything like this, they're so delighted to see them in hold a lot, especially Len, who's a sucker for that. Like, they were just like, oh, congratulations, you are doing the hardest part. But they're not understanding or considering the fact that that's not the hardest part for Bonner. Like, the hardest part for Bonner is musicality. And so Sharna has put in, they're getting all this extra credit for putting in extra hold content when that's actually just, and they that's supposed to make it harder, but it's actually just a really good strategy move from Sharna. I mean, good, you know, power to her. That's clever and self-aware and smart and taking advantage of what she's been given, which wasn't the best. She didn't get the best deal in the first place. So she's taking the good aspects of that deal and just running with it.
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, so clearly she's done what she can. And I think that she in this week was given a very strange combo of dance and music and theme.
Yeah,
so
weird.
I think that it's just very weird to watch. I just felt very unnerved the whole time. And the face that he was making, like, you're right, was just so strange. So, yeah. And her, like, little skippy jump, because she was trying to do the whole Penelope thing from Wreck-It Ralph, which is an excellent, excellent film, I might add. It just came across as so odd. but
let's move on to the greatest thing that's ever happened on Dancing with the Stars.
The greatest thing that's ever happened on syndicated television to date, 2017, like, might I add, this made my life. Was like standing up and just like living for this moment. Mm-hmm. But Normani and Val are my mm-hmm. heroes. Mm-hmm. I think we as female humans of a certain age speak for all female humans of a certain age that Mulan and this moment in Mulan and this song in Mulan was just like an anthem for us. Mm. And like, I remember being a little girl and just like me and my friend just like running through the woods and just like screaming this song and just like throwing sticks around. And like, I mean, this sounds like we're insane, but like, it's just like what you did. Like, you pretended to be Mulan. You were like, I'm Mulan. Like, I'm gonna be in the army and like be really cool and stuff, you know? So,
and honestly, to this, and this song particular, like, to this day, if you go up to a group of women between the ages
of
26 to 32 and you say, let's get down to business, I guarantee the answer is going to be to defeat the Huns. Because that's
exactly
the opening song, line of the number. And also, I have a very strong soft spot in my heart for Donny Osmond. He was when I saw Joseph when I was like 6 years old in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I just love him. He was one of the reasons I tuned back into Dancing with the Stars when mm-hmm. he was on his season. I was rooting for him.
Him and his sister.
Like, I love him so much. And the fact that he was able to come and do this song, which is like one of, I think, the great Disney
perfect.
Vocals.
Like
he sounds the same. He'll always sound, I mean, he's the best.
Yeah.
And and it's like one of the great, in my opinion, it's the greatest Disney song. And it's certainly one of the great Disney vocals, that original recording of that. I couldn't handle anyone else doing it. So I'm so happy that he's quote unquote in the Dancing with the Stars family. And so he could come and do it because it was perfect. And then obviously, I mean, Normani and Val are amazing and I love them. And it was so good. And this was my first 10 of the season, if anyone cares about my grades. Yeah, I loved it. It was my favorite
thing
that ever
happened.
Also,
I had like a legitimate heart attack when they pulled out the Disney 10s. Like, I died. I was just like, I think Mike was like, wait, are those 10s shaped like Mickey Mouse's? And I was like, yeah, them's is Disney 10s. I was like, that's a Disney 10. That's a special kind of 10. I was like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I was like, okay, so like, I'm done now. So like, bye. Like, can I just go? Like, I'm done with life. Like, just murder me.
Although I will say, when he was talking to Aaron, I think, like, Val is usually so good. Like, he knows exactly what to say, and he's got it all boiled down to, like, these exactly perfect little sound bites. And he just lost it when he was talking to Aaron, and he had that, like, that was the most awkward thing anyone's ever said, where he's and the thing about dancing is you have this young girl, this adolescent, this young woman, and I'm like, oh, Val.
You could tell he was a little out of breath too, like that it was a very taxing dance. And then when he talked about when they got the 3 10s and the 1 9, and he was just like, Len knows, Len, and he just kept saying Len. I was like, are you having a heart attack? I was like, I mean, I am too, so like I understand, but like, this is live TV, don't die.
I don't like the word adolescent, and I really don't like dancing, and you're talking about showcase getting to dance with another person and showcasing an adolescent. I was just like, yuck. Terrible.
Yeah, so it's definitely one of those things.
Yeah, where he just lost his mind and didn't know how to talk for a second, and that's fine. He can have one mistake a year, and this was it. So that's it. But speaking of mistakes, segues. David.
Oh, poor David. Yeah, no, David had an off night. I think that for David, he may have had his, I don't want to say swan song last week, but he definitely had his high point. He had a very good week last week, and he had a very meaningful week last week. And I think this week was a little too far across the line of just too silly for him.
I thought it was super fun.
It was
fun.
Cute. Yeah,
I love
the
jive.
Fun.
You can show me any jive and I'll be happy about it.
Jives are definitely fun. I think just for him, he had trouble connecting to it. I don't think that he felt like it was his, his thing. And I think he also had some trouble physically. Clearly he was having trouble with his back. And I think that that's fair. I mean, I probably would die if I had to do this. So, I think that they're always saying, like, can your kicks be quicker and, you know, flicking and all of that. So I think that, you know, when they give them all sevens, that's a little harsh in my book, but especially for Disney night when they're grading up a little bit. But, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite, but I do really like him. And I think that he's still going to get the votes that he gets because he's David Ross.
So here's the question. We have to assume with Erica gone that there's a clear bottom tier that's left, right? And that's got to be Nick and David. If both of them don't, like, they have to go the next 2 weeks, otherwise something's kind of off, right?
So, right, yeah, I think that...
Who goes first? And Bonner. So the Bonner's with them,
Bonner.
Too. The three.
I don't know who knows who Bonner is. Like... Who's voting for Bonner? Are the people who are voting for Bonner the people who vote for Sharna? Probably. I think that it most likely is Nick. I think that of the bottom three, David has the most fan base. That's my guess. But I imagine if, you know, based off of this dance, he had the lowest scores. So I don't know. Unless he doesn't get it could be him if he doesn't get enough. If people just assume and they don't call in because he didn't have good judges' scores, because it is a combined score. But I mean, between who had lower scores, him, Bonner, or Nick? I think it was Bonner. So
yeah, Bonner definitely, because Bonner had a weak week and Nick had his best week. Well, so according to the judges.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the judges' scores, they do count still. So, I mean, I think. Could be Bonner, could be David. It's toss up, man. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm hoping it's Bonner just because I'm over it. I think maybe should be Nick. But if we're trying to dissect who's voting for whom, you've got to believe that Nick and David definitely have more fans than Bonner. But then you've got to think, okay, David has got to have more fans in general, but how many of them are watching ABC Mondays? You would think that would work in Nick's favor, but Nick has a interesting history with edits. And so, like, who I have no idea. I was asking you because I honestly have no,
yeah, no,
I can't
my
forecast
gut,
the next 3 weeks
it,
to save my life.
That's fair. My gut says that it should be that I want it to be Bonner, but my gut says that it might be Nick.
I think it's Nick. I thought it was Nick this week. So, like, can you imagine going home in that outfit?
No, I'd be so sad. I'd be so sad for him. All right. Well, let's move forward to our next most beautiful and most lovely Nancy Kerrigan. I was obsessed with her this week. I know I did. Did you listen last week?
I listened last week. I was so, that was my big takeaway, was how much you like Nancy.
I
now
watched her last week. Well, and so this week, I, first of all, she should dye her hair red because she looked beautiful.
She looks beautiful
in that
yeah.
outfit. Also, I love Enchanted, and this song was like so perfect. But
can I just say, I once asked Stephen Schwartz, so we, for my website, we cover Comic-Con, and I was doing mm-hmm. this composer's press room, and Stephen Schwartz
is my favorite composer, so
continue. He's my favorite composer too, and I told him that, but I accidentally told him that in front of somebody else, and it was like a whole awkward moment where he was like, what about this guy? Anyway, but so he was like the surprise guest. He was there to announce mm-hmm. the Wicked movie. He was not on the list, and this was a press room where everybody was going around and we got one-on-ones. So I was just sitting alone at a table talking to Stephen Schwartz and my brain was exploding. But I once asked him what, I don't know if it was what song in general or what Disney song. I feel like it must have been what Disney song was he most proud of, because he's done the lyrics on a ton of them. He did Pocahontas and Hunchback and all that stuff. And this was his choice. And he said it was because he was so proud of the way that they were able to get all the different sounds and different types of music that happen in New York City into this one number. So he's the most proud of this song out of his entire Disney canon, which blew my mind, because that's like Color of the Wind and Out There and all these amazing songs. But yeah, so, yeah, so this no, but is I can like a see special
that. That's
song.
Like, especially as a composer, I can see that he would be proud of that, because it is a really crazy song. I mean, I feel like this was a really great dance, but I do feel that it was not. I am confused how this was different than the Alan Heather issue, where they were just running around the stage, because
there was like a little bit more, like when they were like standing on the benches like and stuff, they would do like dance moves.
like a snitch more, though. Like this jazz, like very jazz. Very
Again, no one knows what jazz is, apparently, because it was
this
just,
was this like, was a lot of people. I was like, wait, are they gonna start a show right now? Because this was like, I was a little confused, because
although
there was
I will say that a lot of people, I think, was the right answer for this. And I also think a lot of people would have been the right answer for Max and Heather, because what both of those scenes are in their movies are the lead woman running around in like the town or in the park, gathering people and talking to people and experiencing the world around her. They're very specifically like getting out there songs. I think that the secret to that kind of thing, it's sort of like Belle at the opening of Beauty and the Beast. That's mm-hmm. the type of song that it is. And so I think that the answer for that is for the pro to really step back and be a part of the crowd. And then have it really be a lead and an ensemble piece, which is they're absolutely allowed to do, because Val did that with Ginger Z when they did the Janet mm-hmm. Jackson piece, and it was perfect. He was just one of her backup dancers, and it was great. So I think that was lots and lots of people was the right answer here.
Yeah. For me, I just don't necessarily see the like innate difference. So
yeah, I just think there was a little bit more choreography. They just did. Just I mean, it wasn't complicated, but it was things like they would do, I don't know, moves like in they would do synchronized stuff. There was just less running and more dancing.
I don't know, man.
But anyway, notes on this whatsoever. I was
good.
Yeah, though she said something interesting in her package where she's like, I think I just need to take an hour and like sob and get it all out. And I'm like, yes, you absolutely need to do that. That is such a valuable thing. Like, I think she should go see A Dog's Purpose and just take an afternoon by herself and go by herself. This is what I did. Just like go by yourself and take like tissues, like a whole box of tissues, and expel all of the cry demons. And then after that, you're prepared for anything, and you'll never, for like a week and a half, you won't feel like you need to cry because you've gotten rid of all of your tears already.
Too funny.
Because she just, she's always looking like she's about to cry, and it's actually getting in her way. So I do think she's right. I think she just needs to like expel, like take an hour and just get all of the crying out.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think she just needs to relax a little. Like, it's not that serious. You're on Dancing with the Stars. But she did really well. She got 36 out of 40, which is pretty amazing. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of Nancy. She's doing a really good job. Yay. Artem's doing a really good job, too. So way to go, Nance. Good job. So under our last dance of the night, and this was a great, this was by far, I think, besides obviously the best thing that's ever happened on television, Normani and Val. This was probably one of my favorite dances of the night. Simone and Sasha, like, they killed it. They stinking murdered that stage. Have you seen Moana?
I have. My favorite thing about Moana is probably this song. I love this song. I didn't.
It's
love...
not the little pig.
Okay, so here's the thing. I have this in my notes. I love the pig. The pig is wonderful. But have you seen Moana?
Yeah. Where's Hey Hey?
The pig is cut from the movie. Like, he's in the opening scene, but he doesn't get to go on the adventure.
Yeah, Hey Hey goes on the adventure.
Yeah, Hey Hey, like the weird little bird thing that's not cute. Yeah,
Hey,
so
Hey.
Like, so and actually the I read an interview with the producers, and they said that they were supposed to send the pig, and then they didn't. It got cut for some reason. So that's why he's there, because he does feel very weird to introduce this like really great, adorable sidekick and then not use him. So I love the pig, but he's not actually in the movie. But I love the song. I don't actually love the movie, but I love the song.
You don't? And I love both.
I thought this dance was fantastic. I gave it a 10. I will say, one, I continue to think this chemistry is the worst chemistry in the whole cast. I think they're brutal. And two, I would very much like to, because I know she can, I would like to see her do one full contemporary or jazz routine or any routine without a single gymnastics move. Just one. Yeah. Just because just I know one. That she can, and to not let her show that she can is annoying me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that for me, this sort of situation where this was a great representation of, this dance represented Simone as a dancer, because she was able to like put the character and her together and say, you know, she can't. And Julianne was saying like, she can't help who she is, and you can't help who you are by like putting gymnastics into your dance. So like, you do you. And I was like, that's great for Disney week. But like next week, you guys are going to be ripping her a new one when she puts gymnastics into her dance. So,
well, it's also not her. It's when Sasha, you get her right? So like, I feel like this is a product of the fact that it's a weird partnership. And I think he doesn't have the faith in her that he needs to have. And he's falling back on the gymnastics. Cause I mean, this might be happening, but I can't picture her being in rehearsal room being like, I don't know if I'm doing this well enough. Can we put in gymnastics so that I feel better? Like, I just don't think that's who she is.
And her arm extensions and her hand extensions are just so, they're just so strange to me that she can't extend. Like, it's just so strange for somebody that has such a musicality and such like an ability to like understand body movements that she can't like just reach through. It was just so weird. But, and also when you have, you know, the girl who from Moana, they're singing live. Like, it was really hard for me to like even pay attention to them, because she's just amazing. So
also because last time she performed on live TV, she got hit in the head with a wave on the Oscars. Do you remember this?
Yes.
That was amazing. She just like power. She didn't even notice. It was amazing.
No,
but I will say Simone looked so beautiful in that costume with the hair.
Was, like, so pretty.
She just looked great. So I'll give it. And I gave her a 10. I think this partnership is brutal. I like hate them.
Yeah, it's just not working. And I think that I hope they do a switch up where then Simone like goes like through the roof or something.
I bet Simone will go to. I could see Simone going to Val because he had Lori last time. And I mean, this happens every year in Switch Up Week. Whoever gets Val is like amazing. Like poor Keo, when Jodie Sweetin went to Val, it was like a whole issue. Because she was amazing with Val. But I think that that'll put it into rather harsh perspective. Yeah. But I don't know. I it was beautiful, but I had issues with it, as always with Simone.
Just because
expectations on her, and especially after week one where she was incredible, I feel like expectations are hurting her as they are with Heather, but I don't know, man. She's better than this.
Yeah. And I didn't feel like their chemistry was as terrible this week, but I mean, it didn't get better. Like it wasn't breakthrough or anything.
It's not so much the actual chemistry in the dancing, because I think they're both good enough actors that in the actual routine and even on the show, they're mostly okay. It's in the packages and little things that I think are really indicative of fundamental problems, like her saying, I don't feel like I can stand up and say I need a break because I'm, and he's like, you're scared of me. And then she's like, no, but yes.
Yeah,
and so it's stuff like that where I'm just like, the communication isn't working and that sort of thing, where like they're fine enough actors. I'm not worried about the actual chemistry on the dance floor. It's just like as a partnership when they're working together, the actual work hours, I think it's not great.
And I hope that she does have a breakthrough, but that is it. She got a 38 out of 40 and she was our final dance for the evening. And then they shoot on up to our elimination, like we said before. Poor Erica, poor Gleb. See ya, wouldn't want to be ya. Poor Erica.
Yeah, she looked like she was trying hard not to cry, which made me a little sad. But then she also looked like she was trying really hard not to yell at everybody. So
trying not to like flip everyone off and like
so whichever of those it was that she was actually suppressing, good on her for suppressing it.
She is scary.
She could conquer the world. I'm like very impressed / terrified of Erica Jane.
I'm like a little terrified. But this week was good. I felt like this was one of the more fun Disney weeks.
For sure.
That I've seen in a while.
God, I love Disney Week. But I especially like, that combination of Normani and Val, who are obviously unabashedly my favorites, and Mulan, which is my favorite Disney movie, and that song, which is my favorite Disney song, and Donny Osmond, who's my favorite human, and like just everything.
It was so good.
Oh, it was so wonderful.
And I felt like it wasn't intensely promotion heavy. You know, it was the typical amount of promotion, but it wasn't, there wasn't anything coming out this week where they were every 5 minutes shooting a promo at us, you know, like with when Beauty and the Beast came out, like on The Bachelor, it was every other commercial break was a Beauty and the Beast promo. So it's like, I'm glad that we didn't have that. So I think that, you know, they did a great job of just sort of intertwining it in there without it being too heavy handed. Next week, I have no idea what this means, but we are doing boy band versus girl group theme.
Yay! It's going to be like Backstreet Boys in sync.
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure it means what it means, but I don't know what it means. You know, it's like what Vegas night means. I'm pretty sure
it'll means be Vegas like every night, every week will be like when Nick Carter was on and he did his Backstreet's Back dance,
which was the best night of my life.
I mean, it was great. I actually thought Nick Carter should have been a better dancer than he was, but I was very surprised by that.
Are you a Backstreet Boys girl or an NSYNC girl?
Oh, I am such an overwhelmingly Backstreet Boys girl I actually kind of never really liked NSYNC because I was loyal to the Backstreet Boys. Like, I didn't even really love the Spice Girls as much as most people because of my loyalty to the Backstreet Boys. I still go to their concerts as a human.
Me too.
Like an adult.
I have their newest album.
An adult human. I love them, which is why I was expecting Nick to be the greatest dancer of all time. And when he wasn't, I was like, oh, what? That's wrong. You're a god. What? Anyway.
And I'll definitely share this next week on the podcast. But when I studied abroad in London, I took time out of my busy schedule to go see a Backstreet Boys concert.
Oh, my God. In London?
In London, yeah.
That's amazing. Was it, were the fans different? Were they like...
No, they were the same. We made t-shirts.
Nice. Well, they actually were famous in Europe before they were famous in the U.S.
Yeah, but this was 2009, so they were famous.
Yeah,
they fair were enough. Famous everywhere.
Fair enough. No, I'm just saying that like they're like base, their fan base, yes, like no, the fundamentals are like in Germany or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, moving on. So excited about next week. Only next week being boy bands is the only consolation for having to leave Disney Week behind.
Yes, I am a little sad, but I'm excited for boy bands versus girl groups, and we will see what that entails. But until next week, Kelly, where can people find you on the interwebs?
They can find all of my writing and interviews and work and all that jazz and that aforementioned Stephen Schwartz interview at myentertainmentworld.ca, not comms. Comms a different thing. And my Twitter is at myentworld, my E-N-T world. No Instagram, no Snapchat, no none of that.
Whatever. you can find me at Ange Palagi, A-N-G-P-A-L-A-G-G-I. And I'm also on Instagram. You can also follow my dog. Ask me where to find that. But until we speak to you again next week.
Wait,
we
hold
will
on.
Find...
I want to plug. Oh my God. I want to plug Rob's upcoming Toronto Know-It-Alls. I will not actually be here because he happened to pick two days that I'm
Canada
going to be
thing.
In New York, but it's the best city anywhere.
How
I'm obsessed with it.
Me.
So come see my beautiful city, hang it with Rob and the LFC and Steven and all those beautiful people. But definitely if you're in the market to travel for a Know-It-Alls, pick Toronto. Toronto's the best one.
Canada.
New York. You're great too. I'm gonna be in New York while they're here, but
it's yes, hilarious.
Canada, you'll love it. I promise. Anyway,
no, you will love it. Canada's great. Until next time, Toronto. We will see you all on the internet. Bye.
Okay. Bye.